it's just amazing to me how much change can change so quickly. I don't think we've ever used, at least in a way that we thought we would be a part of it, the word pandemic. But here we are. And the kind of disruption that this has caused in our lives and in our society is, I've seen nothing like it. The closest I can compare it to was 9/11. I mean, that everything just changed overnight. And here it's maybe taken a little bit more time, but not much more time. I mean, I remember Wednesday night, the president gave his message to the nation, and there was all this stuff that happened then. And I woke up on Thursday morning and it was just chaos. Everything had changed. The NBA had suspended play. Then the NHL suspended play. Then the NCAA canceled March Madness, and Major League Baseball put opening day on hold. The PGA canceled the Masters. The lights went out on Broadway. Disney parks closed. Colleges just sent their kids home. They're going all online all over the country. In fact, we put Brian, our middle son, on a plane a week ago to go back to school in California. And right now he's at the airport at LAX, and he's going to be back with us this afternoon. So this has all happened in just a few days. And a lot of it really just happened within a few hours. If you didn't get antibacterial wipes and hand sanitizer earlier, you can't even get the ingredients now to make that for yourself. I mean, it is gone. Toilet paper, I don't know what's up with that, but you can't get that either. And if you've gone to the grocery store in the last few days, you've seen a lot of empty shelves. I did. Robin was there just a couple days ago, and she took this picture at Hannaford in Yarmouth. And that's what the meat area, the fresh meat area, looked like. It's crazy the kind of stuff that's going on. Every pastor that I know of every church in this area and all around the country is doing live streams today. I mean, churches everywhere have just shut down, and it's just really, really surreal. And just like our kids, we have all kinds of different emotions connected to this. I definitely know people who think this whole thing is just mass hysteria, or they think that it's like a politically motivated hoax. There are people that believe that. They just think it's totally overblown. And there are a lot of us that are frustrated because our daily lives are completely interrupted. We're having to do everything differently than before. And a lot of people are frightened. And maybe like our kids, we express it in different ways. But there are a lot of people that are afraid, maybe of the virus itself, or they're afraid of what's happening to their 401k. Because, I mean, the financial implications of this are huge as well. And so many of us are experiencing some measure of fear or anxiety. And so what I'd like to do today is just to help you conquer your fears. You might say, well, I'm not afraid of the coronavirus. Okay, what are you afraid of? All of us, at one time or another, are gripped by fear. So how do you neutralize it? Well, this week I looked at every reference in the Bible to fear and anxiety and peace. And I was amazed at how much scripture there is on this subject. It was kind of an overwhelming task, but I was able to kind of categorize the different things that the Bible says into three kind of different ideas. And I put a sampling of those passages on the White Pine app. I hope that you'll go to that. On the app, there's a square that says notes. You just touch that square and you're going to get all the passages that we're going to talk about right now. And you can use this as a resource throughout the week. You can read them. You can meditate on them. You can speak them out loud if necessary when you start to freak out. So here are three ways to find peace in the midst of a pandemic. The first is to seek God. What do I mean by that? It's not complicated. I just mean to reach out to him. I mean to talk to him, to tell him what you need most from him right now. And that may be something that you're already in the habit of doing, or it may be something that you've really never done before. Maybe you're a person who's always had a lot of self-confidence. You've said, I can handle anything that comes my way, but not this time. You're starting to realize that you can't control everything, and that loss of control is scaring you. And so I would just say, tell God that you need him. It's okay if you've never done that before. Now's the time when he's got your attention, and just kind of pursue him. And even if it feels awkward to you, I'm sure it will for some of you, just talk to God. He's listening. In Psalm 34, a king by the name of David did exactly that when he was afraid. He wrote, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." It's a great passage. And then in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Another version of that verse says, "Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers." And if you do this, Paul says, and I like that Kim said, let's start with thanking God, because that's part of what this passage asks us to do as well. Tell God what you need, what you're anxious about. Have an attitude of thankfulness to him. And then the promise is you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus. That's not to say that prayer is a magic wand. It's not like that. It's the pursuit of God. And I think that we have to realize that it may take some time for the peace that we want to come. So don't just pray once and give up if it's not working. Keep praying until God gives you what he has promised to give you. It's a great passage in the Hebrew scriptures about this. It's a story about a prophet by the name of Elijah who prayed for rain after a 3.5 years of drought. And when he started praying, the sky was cloudless, but God had told him that rain would come. And so he started praying. The scripture says he bent down to the ground and he started talking to God. And at one point he said to his assistant who was nearby, "Go and look toward the sea." And the assistant came back and said, "There's nothing there." So Elijah prayed more. And then he said, "Go back." Same report, no clouds. And Elijah kept praying 7 times. He said to his assistant, "Go back." And finally the assistant came back and said, "There's a cloud the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." So Elijah kept praying, and it wasn't long before the Bible says the sky grew black with clouds and a heavy rain started falling. That story started with God's promise to send rain. It ended with him fulfilling that promise. But in between was an extended period of persistent prayer. It was by seeking God with perseverance that Elijah accessed what God had promised. Jesus said, "Keep asking, and it will be given to you." And God himself says to us, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Maybe one of the blessings that can come out of this turbulent time is this fear of anxiety that you're feeling will compel you to seek God like never before. And in seeking him, you will find peace and so much more. And then the second way that we can find peace, even in the midst of a pandemic, is to trust God. I know that sounds a lot like seeking God, and for sure there's some overlap here. But basically what I mean is that the more that we rivet our focus on what God has said, and the more that we choose to believe it, the more peace we will experience. Isaiah 26 is a passage that includes the lyrics of a worship song. And one line in that song is, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast." Or as another translation says it, "those whose minds remain focused on you." You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So let me encourage you with these words from the Psalms. Listen, not just with your ears right now, but with your heart. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." It says, in spite of all of that, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And Psalm 91, listen to this. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Man, that passage is filled with so many amazing promises. And even if God's plan for us is a little different than the way that passage lays it out, He's going to be with us. His love and His power are going to be with us every day of our life. All the days ordained for us were written in His book before one of them came to be. And we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's so much in the scripture that can give us peace. I have here one of my wife Robin's most precious possessions. It's just a little tiny spiral notebook. And she has written, actually she did this in the year 2006. She wrote a whole bunch of different passages that give her peace. And the reason she did it was because she had been diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And she used this booklet through two surgeries that she had when they removed her thyroid. And then she had to go into the hospital for a really strong radiation treatment. It was in this room that was covered with plastic everywhere, like you couldn't touch anything. People would come in hazmat suits to bring her food to her at the door. And they said, anything you bring with you into the hospital, you can't bring out. We're going to throw it away, burn it. And so she didn't bring this book with her. She wrote the verses out on her computer. And when she came out again, first of all, she was in isolation. She was actually quarantined because the radiation was so strong that she couldn't be around anybody, including her family. And when it was all over, she took this again. And since that time, she's used it to take her through so many different crises personally. And she's also shared those verses that she had typed out on the computer with lots of different people who are going through challenges of their own. She doesn't lend the book out because she doesn't want to take any chances of losing it. In fact, I asked her if I could bring it today, and she threatened me. You better bring it back. Don't lose this, because it's so precious to her. And it's on her nightstand right now, because it's the truth of the Word of God that gives her peace. I want to encourage you to use Scripture right now to bolster your trust in God. I put all those verses on the app, So that you can experience their power. So read those scriptures again and again. Read them out loud if you need to, and trust them. They really will give you perfect peace. And then I want to share one other idea with you, one more way to find peace in the midst of a pandemic. And this is going to sound counterintuitive, but the Bible encourages us to fear God. Listen to this verse from the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. How does fearing God alleviate other fears, like the fear of contracting a virus or the fear of financial disaster? Well, I think you have to understand what it means to fear God. Essentially, what it means is to see Him full size. To fear God means to be so blown away by how awesome and how powerful He is that your knees start knocking. When I was in elementary school, my family lived in a suburb of Denver, Colorado. And for 2 years, we had season tickets to the Denver Broncos NFL games. And we sat in the south end zone on bleachers at Mile High Stadium. And it was $5 for a ticket for an adult, $2.50 for kids. And whenever we went to those games, my dad would bring this big, huge set of binoculars. And we would take turns using those binoculars to see our favorite players close up. But sometimes, we'd turn the binoculars around and we'd look through the big lenses and then through the tiny lenses. And it was like this fisheye view. And so you could see the whole stadium, and all these actually very large human beings that were down on the field were just these tiny little orange dots. And then we turn the binoculars back around, and they grew to full size again. Someone has said, it's when your small God becomes big, that your big problems become small. That's what we need to do. We need to see God as so big that it actually creates an awe. We might even say a fear of God in us. There's a scene in the Gospels where Jesus and his disciples are in a boat, and there's a storm raging. I mean, it's bad. There's water coming in over, you know, into the boat. The disciples are totally freaking out, and Jesus is in the back of the boat taking a nap. And they wake him up, and they say, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And he gets up and, you know, kind of rubs his eyes and rebukes the wind and the raging waters. And the scriptures say the storm subsided and all was calm. And he said to his disciples, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" And it says in fear and amazement, they said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You see how that fear of God, that awareness of how powerful he is, might shrink your fears about the coronavirus or the economy. We need to see the dangers that we face relative to the power of God. Fear him, and you will not be afraid of anything else. Now, let me just say one thing about what all these scriptures that we have read have in common. The peace that they promise is a gift that God gives to those who have a relationship with him. Sometimes when we're in a rough spot, we want God to give us what we need, but it's almost like we're walking away from him and we're talking to him over our shoulder. God, I don't want to walk with you, but I definitely want your peace. And it just doesn't work like that. The peace that we want comes with a person. To say it another way, you have to be at peace with God in order to get peace from God. And you may wonder, well, how do I make peace with God? You do it through his son, Jesus Christ. See, the reason God sent Jesus into this world was because of how messed up it was. Everything that was going wrong back then, everything that is going wrong right now in the world has its origins in sin, in the decisions that people made to turn their backs on God and to go their own way. And the Bible says that all of us have done that in one way or another. And because of that, the whole world is in a downward spiral. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned. He actually lived a perfect life. And then when he died on the cross, he didn't die for his own sins. He died for our sins. He died in our place as our substitute. And then 36 hours later, he rose from the dead. And he taught us, and others have said since then, that when we believe in him, when we accept his death on our behalf, a restoration process begins. It begins inside of us. The first thing that God does is he cleans us up. He forgives us of our past. And then he begins to use us to start to make a difference in the world, to bring his healing and his hope to the rest of the world. And eventually, one day, sickness and death will be extinct. The world will be fully restored to like new condition, and we will live in that world forever. This is the good news that Christians believe. And if you've never before put your trust in Jesus, this is a great time for you to do that. You may have had the idea, well, I have to clean up my act. I have to get better. I have to kind of prepare myself morally to meet God. That's not true at all. We can come to him just the way that we are, the way you are right now, as fearful as you are, as sinful as you are, as messed up as your life is right now. You can just reach out to him, seek him, tell him that you've been Jesus, that you believe he died for you, and that he rose from the dead. And that peace of God that transcends all understanding will begin to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I know you're at home right now watching this, but I wonder if you'd just be willing to just bow your head right now and take a minute and pray with me. And if you've never before told God that you believe in Jesus, tell him that right now. Right now, if you're sincere about that, he'll come into your life and he'll forgive you of your sins and he will give you his peace and he will give you the power to deal with what's going on in the world right now. So just tell him that you believe in him. Lord, thank you so much that with Jesus, we do get this peace, that our hearts and our minds are guarded by him. And thank you that you just give us every resource that we need right now to face whatever challenges are in front of us. May everybody who has heard this message, may it stick with them. And may, as we go through different things that bring out all kinds of different emotions, may we experience your peace and your power like never before. And Lord, please do use us in the lives of other people who do not yet know the peace that we have because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.